from KQED.
And welcome back to Forum. Scott Schaefer here today for Dave Iverson. And for the rest of this hour, we're focusing on the federal perjury trial of Barry Bonds. The former San Francisco Giants star is accused of lying under oath to a grand jury investigating the Balco steroid scandal in 2003. The case is being tried in a San Francisco courtroom, and journalist Lance Williams of California Watch and the Center for Investigative Reporting has covered it along with just about every aspect of this case from the very beginning. And he's with me now in the studio. Lance, good to see you.
My pleasure.
Well, it finally got underway. What were the highlights this week of the trial? Certainly, Steve Hoskins, one of Barry Bonds' old friends, testified, and that was a focal point. Tell us about his testimony and how everyone in the courtroom reacted.
Mr. Hoskins' purpose in testifying is to allow the government to play a tape recording to the jury. The recording is of Barry Bonds' weight trainer, Greg Anderson, standing in the Giants clubhouse, describing the steroids that he said he was giving to Bonds back in the years when Bonds was a Giants star and hitting all his home runs. Mr. Hoskins taped him and eventually provided that to the government, and the jury got to hear it for the first time in his testimony. Mr. Hoskins says he's trying to get Bonds off drugs, and that's the purpose for making the recording. The defense went after him on that point and on other points, trying to portray him as a embittered ex-employee who was trying to extort money in one of the assertions made by the defense.
And he said, I believe, that he had made the recording because he wanted to play it for Barry Bonds' dad, because he was in hopes that his dad might have some influence on getting him off of steroids. But then there were some questions about when exactly this tape was recorded and why. And tell us about that, the timing of the recording and why that matters.
Well, from the recording, you can tell when it's made. It's made probably in May of 2003, because there's a discussion of Bonds' batting statistics that the weight trainer goes into at the end. Much of the cross-examination was trying to get the witness to talk about stuff that happened 8 years ago, and he obviously hadn't a clear memory on dates and times. But the tape is obvious when it was made. And interesting, because it's the absent witness's voice. Anderson won't testify. He's in prison as a result. Jury doesn't know what's going on with him, but he's been a theme throughout the first week of the trial. The drug agent, Nowitzki, talked extensively about Anderson as a steroid dealer.
And are they telling the jury why he's not there or not?
No, the judge just told them he's an unavailable witness and asked them not to speculate why that is.
Yeah. Now, we should make clear that Barry Bonds is not on trial for using steroids, correct? I mean, he's on trial for having lied to a grand jury. What's the distinction?
Well, the government wants to make the point that they're not prosecuting athletes for steroid abuse. Bonds was immunized against prosecution in exchange for his testimony before the grand jury back in 2003 that was investigating the Balco steroid dealing operation. The only exception to the immunization was they weren't going to immunize him against lying under oath. He went in and said he had never knowingly used steroids. They believe that's perjury and have now gone after him for that. But they will have to prove he's a steroid dealer to make a perjury case, but steroid using isn't a charge.
And the key word there, knowingly, did not knowingly use or accept steroids. What's the importance of that phrase, do you think?
Well, he's got some evidentiary issues.
Bonds.
He's tested positive for the cream and the clear, the two Balco steroids. That's the lone drug test that's in evidence. It's from the baseball testing program in 2003. The government went and retested his sample and found that he's on these Balco drugs. So he's got to acknowledge using them, but he's got to say he didn't know what they were. And at the grand jury, said that his trainer was giving him flaxseed oil and arthritis balm. If he took the stuff without knowing it was a steroid, then the testimony is true.
And so he has that fallback. We also heard this week from a renowned expert on steroids and the impact that steroids have on the body. What did he have to say, and how did Bonds' attorneys – did they get to cross-examine him?
Yeah. Dr. Larry Bowers of the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency that's the entity that provides drug testing for the U.S. Olympic movement. And he was in to testify as an expert on the effects of using steroids and especially the way athletes use them for performance-enhancing purposes. He doesn't mention Bond's name in the testimony, but he racks up a long list of steroid side effects that correspond to behavior and physical changes in Bonds that the government says they're going to prove starting Monday, probably with the girlfriend.
This is Kimberly Bell, yeah, the ex-girlfriend.
Right. The defense cross-examination focused on, especially in the area of human growth hormone, another drug Bonds is using in its side effects. The witness said that use of growth hormone can ape an ailment called acromegaly, but there are side effects or symptoms of acromegaly that no baseball player could endure, like weakness in the extremities. And so he was quizzed on certain inconsistencies between the list of side effects and what's known about what Bonds could do during this period.
You know, just stepping back from this, from the trial for a moment, it seems like most people probably have formed an opinion about whether or not Barry Bonds was using performance-enhancing drugs, steroids, during that period when he broke the home run record for the San Francisco Giants. How important is it for the defense or the prosecution that the jury not have formed an opinion about that? Because it seems to me it would be difficult if you're paying attention at all. And maybe these jurors weren't particularly watching baseball during that period of time. But how important is it, the juror's attitude about that question, whether or not he really did use them?
Well, for them to do a fair job, the jury has to set aside any notion about whether he was a drug user or not, because that's the first thing the government has to prove. The jury members promise to do that. The jury has not got a lot of baseball fans on it. I believe there's one who's an Oakland A's fan, but it's 8 women and 4 men, and they did not express tremendous interest in sports. But you're obviously right. I mean, if you had the TV on in the last 8 years, you probably heard something about this.
We're talking to Lance Williams, formerly of the San Francisco Chronicle, also with California Watch and the Center for Investigative Reporting, and co-author of Game of Shadows, a book he wrote with Mark Fainaru-Wada about the Balco scandal and the use of steroids in baseball. If you want to join us this morning, now's your chance to ask probably the preeminent authority on steroids in baseball about this trial. You can give us a call at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, of course, forum@kqed.org, and you can post a comment or question on our website. Just go to kqed.org/forum or on the KQED Forum Facebook page as well. Lance, Greg Anderson, this trainer of Barry Bonds, probably if anyone knows for sure what Barry Bonds was getting, it would be him. Why do you think he has agreed not to talk or decided not to talk, and at such personal cost? He's been in prison. He's gone back to prison now for the duration of the trial, I guess. Any thoughts about him and what it is that motivates him other than perhaps just loyalty?
Well, I know some things, but I don't know all the things, of course. He pleaded guilty in the Balco case. He admitted to steroid dealing. But as part of that, the government wanted him to sign a cooperation agreement, and he wouldn't do it. And he thought that by pleading guilty, he was done. And I know he has told people that I've spoken to that he felt double-crossed when they came back at him and wanted him to testify about Bonds. He thought, well, wait, we already had that discussion. Nevertheless, that's not a legal basis for refusing to testify before a grand jury. I also believe that that relationship with Bonds was really important to Greg Anderson, and he doesn't want to give it up, and you'd have to give it up to become a witness against him.
Yeah. What about the government? This case began when George W. Bush was president, and now we have, of course, Barack Obama is in his third year as president in this case. Many people thought this case might go away, that the federal government may just decide it wasn't a priority or it wasn't a top priority. What are your thoughts about that? Are you surprised that this case actually did go to trial?
Well, in a way, I thought I'd never see the end of it, so it's interesting that it's going to trial. There was speculation that when the White House change hands, that the Justice Department might take a look at whether it wanted to continue the sports and drugs attack. And yet, you really can't, if you're a professional prosecutor, work in an environment where they just come in and take your case away because they've made some political decision and somebody else got elected. You know, that's horrible for our criminal justice system. So this was underway, and they're going to play it out.
All right, let's go to the phones now. Again, the number to call, 866-733-6786. Colin in San Francisco, you're on with Lance Williams. Good morning.
Good morning. Personally, I think Barry Bonds probably did lie about his steroid use, but isn't this just a colossal waste of time and resources by the U.S. Attorney's Office? Shouldn't they instead be aggressively prosecuting investment fraud, particularly with the collateralized debt obligations that obviously there was some fraud, and yet no one seems to have been charged for those types of offenses?
Lance, a question of priorities, I guess.
Well, it's absolutely true that they could have handled this a different way. Way back in the day, they could have gone to trial in the Balco case and made their evidence about the athletes public that way. They could have not prosecuted anybody and just made their evidence public. But they've gone about it in this way, and it's a fair question as to whether this is the most effective use of their resources, but this is what they're doing.
Colin, you would rather just have them drop the case or not take it up in the first place?
At this point, simply just drop the case. There have been so many other criminals who have defrauded investors and caused so much more pain than somebody who is essentially paid to hit a ball with a stick and whose conduct really doesn't seem to have harmed anyone.
All right, Colin, thanks so much for the call. And Lance, what do you think is at stake for the government in this case? What if they lose it after all this?
Well, it'll be a tremendous disappointment if they lose it because they've invested so much time and effort into it. And yet what's really on the line isn't very much. And in the ordinary way you look at criminal justice issues, it's unlikely Bonds goes to prison even if convicted. That's because the other defendants accused of this offense in this judge's court have all been put on house arrest. So the government wants to make a point about you have to cooperate with the system.
866-733-6786, the number to call if you want to talk about the Barry Bonds trial, or you can email us, of course. That address is forum@kqed.org. We've got an email from Ted who writes, watching Barry Bonds' statements to the press combined with the circumstances has been evidence enough for me, but will the jurors be allowed to use full range of evidence as I have? Lance, what is the jury being allowed to use or not?
Case is going to trial so long after the events is the government spent almost 2 years appealing a evidentiary ruling of the trial judge. They lost the appeal, and they've lost significant evidence of Bond's steroid use. Those are doping calendars and results of private steroid tests. All that was material maintained by the trainer we were talking about, Anderson. Judge said without Anderson to authenticate the material, the jury can't find out about it. The questioner is obviously aware of that kind of thing. The jury cannot consult that.
Before this case did go to trial, a couple of weeks before, the judge, the federal judge, Susan Ilston, encouraged both sides to try to work something out, to try to work it out before it got to this point. And it seemed like Barry Bonds' attorneys really weren't that interested. Was that your impression?
Well, the judge didn't have any leverage at that point to make the sides come together. By her prior sentences, she made clear to the defendant he was unlikely to go to prison. And by her prior ruling, she'd already taken away most of the government's evidence. Typically, those are the kinds of things a judge will use threats of that to force a settlement, and those decisions were already made. So I didn't think it was an effort that was going to go anywhere.
Yeah. And is it your perception that leading up to the trial and even this week that the defense, that Barry Bonds has gotten the best of the decisions made by the judge?
He's gotten some significant rulings in his favor, but not everything has gone his way. On Yesterday, for example, the judge ruled that the expert witness could talk about these side effects of human growth hormone that include growth in the head and the extremities. The science on that wasn't enough to satisfy the defense. They asked the judge to throw the whole line of expert testimony out, but she wouldn't do it.
All right, let's go back to the phones now. Again, the number 866-733-6786. Phil in Burlingame, welcome to the program.
Hi, I'm a little confused. If Barry Bonds had admitted that he used steroids, I think I had heard you say that, you know, that would not be a chargeable offense. So what we're talking about here is a charge of perjury for lying about something that's not material to a criminal or civil act. So I don't really understand how you could be tried for, perjury for something that's not even criminal. I mean, he wasn't charged with obstruction of justice either.
Lance?
Yeah.
I thought he was charged with obstruction.
Yes, he faces one charge of obstruction and four charges of false statements under oath. The government says that the false statements he allegedly made were completely material to the course of the Balco investigation. They said he misled them in a way that cost time and money and confused investigators and forced them to inquire into matters that should have been all wrapped up. So they say it went to the heart of their investigative effort back in 03 to break up a steroid ring when he doesn't tell a truth.
What have we heard, if anything, from Major League Baseball? It has been 3.5 years since this happened, since this began. Since Bonds quit playing for the Giants. What do we hear from Major League Baseball? Are they just kind of wishing this would all go away?
It's going to be a tough year for baseball, which has struggled to get past its so-called steroid era when now we think that lots of players were using banned drugs. As soon as the Bonds trial is over in Washington, D.C., one of the great pitchers of the era, Roger Clemens, goes on trial for lying in front of Congress. That's the charge. So it's definitely the MLB would like to fast forward past this because they have done some things to clean up the game. And it is a different game now than it was in the steroid era. And they'd just like to make this a bad memory as fast as possible.
Do you think that baseball has really cleaned up its act, that steroid use is gone or greatly reduced?
I think it's reduced. The penalties are significant, and the testing is better. They're a long way from being at the Olympic standard level, but it's so much better than it was when Bonds was alleged to be using. Although the conduct was illegal, it wasn't even against baseball rules.
Are you a baseball fan?
Well, you know, I was for my whole life. I guess I'm a baseball fan in withdrawal right now because your hobby can't be your job, and so I don't follow the game the way I did as a fan.
But was that in part because you sort of lost faith in what the game you were watching because of what you uncovered?
It wasn't anything that profound. It's just that when you're writing about it in the way I was, it just didn't amuse me anymore.
Hmm. All right, let's go back to the phones. Harold in Petaluma, welcome.
Yes, I'm an independent sports writer that covers mostly high schools, and my perspective's a little kind of different. I'm not going to say this is the most important case that ever came up, but I think it's important for kids because we have a problem with the use of these amongst high schools. And, you know, Bonds maybe didn't steal like these investment bankers, but if he walks off, it's like he has stolen money because he might not have gotten all this money and attention had he not more than likely used these different substances. So I think it's an important case in that respect because it sets an example for young people.
You say you're a sports writer?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, and what do you hear from high school athletes? Are they following this? Are they thinking about it?
Coaches are, because the coaches know what kids are using these things, but a lot of times they're reluctant to come forward, even with kids on their own team. And there's education that's going on with the California Interscholastic Federation, but there's a lot of pressure, and a lot of it comes from the parents. So it is a problem, yes.
Pressure to win.
pressure to win.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Pressure to win.
All right, Harold, thanks for the call. Lance Williams, what role do you think that sort of concern has in the government continuing to press this case, that it does have an impact on young people and young athletes and families and high schools?
I always thought the appropriate rationale for all these cases was the public education aspect. If you tell young athletes about the dangers of the stuff and that there are sanctions against using them, you cut down on the use. The young athletes want to succeed, and they think they're never going to die, and the people who run sports and the government needs to, you know, check that competitive impulse, protect them from their own competitive impulses by maintaining rules against powerful drugs that actually can hurt you in the long term.
All right, let's go back to the phones again, 866-733-6786. Let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio. Dan is on the line. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was interested to see or hear any thoughts on if this case and its result would have any impact on what they're doing with Lance Armstrong in that investigation. Is there? There's obviously a little bit of a parallel, but maybe you can touch on that.
Lance?
Well, the same investigative team that worked Bonds has been reported to be pursuing a case against Armstrong. My understanding is the suspicion is, or the foundation of any case that they might make was that they had a fraud theory that he defrauded the Postal Service, which was the sponsor of the racing team he was on. There's significant published information about Armstrong and steroids, but I don't know whether they'll come to the point of getting an indictment or not. It's not a perjury thing. This is if it goes, it's supposed to be an actual criminal complaint that they'd like to make against him.
Lance, of course, so we have heard about doping in bicycling. It's very, very well reported, but we don't hear it so much in other sports, or do we? I mean, I haven't heard it, for example, in the NFL or the NHL or the NBA, for that matter.
Well, the NFL has probably done the best PR job about its doping issues. I know when Congress wanted to have what are now thought back on as the baseball hearings about steroids back in 2005, those also involved the NFL. But when Congress called up the NFL, they said, sure, how many experts can we send? How much material can we do? How much time would you like to spend with us? Baseball made them subpoena the commissioner before they could even get anybody in there. So it's a PR thing that anybody who looks at NFL players and their size and compares them to 20 years ago suspects that there's a significant doping problem, and guys do get popped under the testing program. And the Balco case had a cluster of NFL players who were using banned drugs.
All right, let's see if we can get another call or two in here. Bruce is on the line in Palo Alto. Good morning.
Morning. Following up, Lance, a comment you made related to Anderson and his ties to Bonds. Is there, without commenting or speculating per se, can you tell me if following the trial, it can be tracked to see whether any monies came from Bonds or through a third party to Anderson? Because I personally speculate that indeed that's what the connection is, that Bonds has promised him a good sum of money to keep silent. Could you comment as to whether tracking can be done and by the government or investigative reporting?
Well, many people have speculated that there's money changed hands or money promised. I've never heard anybody claiming to have proof of that. Anderson lives, or before he went back to prison, lives quite modestly, I understand. Certainly the IRS would have ample resources to see if this has occurred. And of course, if it did occur as a payment for refusing to testify, you'd have potential criminal exposure. So I think these guys would be pretty darn careful about doing any such thing.
I've got an interesting email here from Frank, who writes, what type of support does Barry Bonds have at the courtroom? Who does Barry have in court with him, family, and so on?
Yeah, he has a row of friends and family. His mom comes to court. His aunt comes to court. A bodyguard, an old friend, is there, and a small family entourage. And then there are some Barry Bonds fans who come to court, a couple rows of them. I think most of the public attendees are people who followed him as a giant slugger.
Yeah. And another quick question here from Diana, who writes, we got a gender breakdown of the jury, but what about the racial composition?
Two African-American women are on the jury. And I think that's the racial makeup. The rest appear to be white people. Of course, they weren't questioned on that, and it's California.
Was there any sense of trying to get or dismiss jurors based on race?
No, of course, they can't dismiss on race legally.
Right.
But the jury selection process in federal court is controlled by the judge. It goes really fast. And the lawyers don't have the – although they have some challenges they can make, they don't have the ability to shape the jury in quite the way you do in a murder case, say, in California.
All right. Lance, the trial is dark today. Resumes on Monday. What's coming up next?
Well, Bond's former girlfriend, Kimberly Bell, was available and ready to testify on Thursday, but they didn't get to her. I think she'll probably take the stand on Monday. And this will be a dramatic first meeting since their breakup. She says he confessed to her that he was using steroids way back in 99. His lawyers portray her as a gold digger, spiteful, making up stuff to try to get even or get money. It'll be really interesting to see when they see each other again for the first time.
And there were some phone recordings and transcripts of messages he had left over many months that the judge tossed out.
Yeah, the government offered her voicemails from Barry as evidence of roid rage. One of the side effects of steroid abuse is just violent temper. The judge didn't think they proved that or they could be related to something else, and so it did go out. So she'll be on her own. She won't be playing tapes.
All right. Lance Williams from California Watch and the Center for Investigative Reporting covering the Barry Bonds trial, also co-author of the book Game of Shadows. Lance, thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate it.
Forum is produced by Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell with production assistance from Christina Russo. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Forum's executive producer is Raul Ramirez. Our engineer today is Paul Lancour. I'm Scott Schaefer, here for Dave Iverson. Thanks for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.